was. I was in the studio with Steve watching the Mark Williams, Mark Selby match.
Yes.
First match of the 2018 Masters Championship here in Ballypolly. So just got out of the studio and just going to have a nice relaxing evening now. Thank you very much.
Well, we'll keep it relaxing from now on. But I suppose you'd be as well to tell us that Mark Williams defeated Mark Selby
6-5. He did, 6-5 nail biter. Great match.
Yeah, it's very close. I was looking at the scores.
Championship, yeah, and I hope there's more of this to go on now for the rest of the week. So a cracking opening match, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're in the studio, which was around about 1 o'clock. Do you find it a long day, or are you absorbed by what you're watching?
I know. I mean, you're sort of, you do get a little bit engrossed. You like to, you know, it's a great atmosphere here at the Ballypolly. It was packed out today. It's like over like 1,500 or 1,600 people. Great atmosphere, and it's always great to, you know, I love doing the BBC work, because you're watching, you love the game, and you're watching the other players, and you're having fun as well with the likes of the other, you know, with Steve and Stephen Hendry, John Parrott, Steve Davis and Dennis Taylor, John Virgo. You know, they're all great lads, you know, and they're easy to work with, and it's not, well, you wouldn't really call it work, would you, in all fairness?
Well, I suppose you probably wouldn't be doing it if you didn't think it was a bit of fun. That's important.
We all love it, you know.
Are you people, all those names that you mentioned, are you friends, or are you friends because you have to be because you're working for the same team?
We all get on really well together, and that's what makes time go really quickly. Like, you don't, you know, we come over here and we sort of meet up. It's a social sort of gathering as much as it is for a snooker gathering, you know. We recant some stories of what we've been doing, and then old stories and memories, and just hopping the ball with each other and winding each other up, and you know, just having a laugh and that, and you know, a few nights out, a few nice bits of dinner, a little bit of drink consumed, just a little, and then back to the snooker then, of course, as well. But it's good fun.
Well, it's great to be able to do the like of that and get paid for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, could be. Can't ask for better than that. That's as close as to utopia as you're ever going to get.
Yeah. Well, you're in the limelight because you won a world title back in the day, back in 1997.
1997, yeah.
Beating Stephen Hendry in 1812. I suppose that keeps coming back to your mind every so often.
Yeah, of course. Well, I mean, you know, people always remember where you were, where they were, when it happened, you know, because, like, the whole country watched it and stood still for those few moments. And, yeah, like 20 years, coming up to 21 years now this year, it's gone really quickly, you know. But I've had a marvellous time. You know, when I first took up the queue, I wanted to be a world champion. You know, I never thought it was ever going to happen until that fateful night against Stephen Hendry. And when your dreams come true, it's just the most amazing feeling in the world. I'm like very proud, proud Irishman, privileged to be a world champion. So no matter what they do, they can't take your name off that cup. It's there, it's ingrained forever. So that's good news.
It certainly is. We'll go back to the beginning just very briefly now, because I know you're after a 4-hour shift there, but just you know, you received a Christmas present from your father, a snooker table, and I suppose from there on it was all about snooker.
Yeah, I used to watch Alex Higgins. I watched Pot Black.
Yeah, Pot Black,
every
yeah.
Saturday, that's... yeah. It used to come on only for a half an hour every Thursday night. It was, I think it was from 9 till about 9:30. Every Thursday, and that's when I saw Alex Higgins play, and that's when I first saw snooker on the TV. And I was only about 7 or 8 years of age at that time, and I wanted a snooker table from Santa, and lo and behold, I woke up Christmas morning, there was a little 2-foot by 1-foot snooker table at the end of my bed, and I was hooked ever since, you know. And I got my first cue when I was 11. It was like a cue that I still have now. I paid £2 for it in Jason's and Renly. And that was in 1980. I got that cue, 1980-81, and that was the cue. I paid £2, and I won everything that I've ever won, from anything in the amateurs to the, from the boys to the amateurs to the professional championships that I've played in over the years. I've won with that £2 cue. So a couple of nice stories there, and I've always been just fascinated by the game. I just loved it, and it's given me you know, met so many great people, been to so many great countries, playing for Ireland, playing on the professional tour, and still enjoying it, you know.
Your father unfortunately died at the age of 13, and I'm sure he was a great help to you. And did you, was it then, did that really spur you to decide, right, I'm really going to make it in the snooker game, or was your intention to do that anyway?
It was a devastating blow, obviously. I mean, he was the you know, the man that introduced me to snooker. Never saw me play in a competition, unfortunately. You know, saw me play on the snooker table at home, and saw me play, you know, that was about it. But never saw me play in any competition, unfortunately. You know, my mother, who we lost just on Mother's Day last March, she couldn't watch me play live. You know, she could only watch me play if it was recorded, and she knew I won, but she couldn't watch me play live. So, but they were an inspiration, no doubt. You know, my father was an inspiration, and my mother was an inspiration, because she was a very strong woman. And because of the loss of my father, our family bond became even stronger, because we had to. We had to be strong for each other. We had to support each other. We had to look out for each other. And my mother was left with four young kids. You know, wasn't even 13 then. My sister was just 11, you know. My other brother was like 16, going on 17, and the eldest was just turned 21. So there were tough times, you know, but if anything, it sort of kept me grounded. It gave me a sort of determination, I suppose, in a different way, that it sort of said, yeah, well, it sort of spurred me on to keep playing, not only for myself, but for my family at the same time.
And you went on to win the world amateur title. Well, you won under 21 and so on, but winning the world amateur title was a big achievement.
Yeah, it was. I won the world junior championship in Iceland in June of 1989. A fella bought me a ticket. I had no intention of going to Iceland, because I couldn't afford the ticket to go there and couldn't afford accommodation. And I met a guy in England, and he asked me about going to the junior championships. And I says, well, I didn't know it was on, first of all. And I said, I couldn't afford to go anyway. And he says, well, if I pay for your ticket and pay for your accommodation, will you go? I says, bloody sure I will. So I was on the plane the next week, and I ended up winning it. And he took the trophy. I never saw the trophy ever again. Put my name. I kept the perpetual one for a year. I gave it back. Got my name engraved on it. And that's how I won the World Junior Championships. Never saw your man ever again. He just paid it, took my trophy, and that's all he wanted.
And do you know his name, and do you still know him?
He was from London. His name is Curly Mick. That's all I knew him from. Curly Mick, yeah. And that was it. I never saw him again. I don't know where he is or what happened to him, but I know he took the trophy with him. But it was worth it. I didn't mind, because he gave me the chance to play in that tournament that I wouldn't have been, and I couldn't afford to play in the first place. So it was an opportunity that I wouldn't have had. But, and of course, winning any sort of world championship, whether it be junior level or senior level, is still a world championship. So, I won that. That's how I won that one. I went to Singapore then to represent Ireland 6 months later, and I won the World Amateur Championships. And then that gave me the ticket to become a professional. I turned professional the following September, and that was 1990. And it took me 7 years to win the World Professional Championship, and of course beating Stephen Hendry in the final. You know, who had won it 5 years previous. He was going for like six championships in a row. He was unbeaten in 6 years until I beat him. And so that was the icing on the cake, and that was the fateful night on the 5th of May 1997.
Oh well, you won't forget that date for sure.
No.
And I suppose true to say that RT didn't forget it either, and you got an award there 20 years after winning it.
Yeah, that was quite nice. It was a Hall of Fame award. I wasn't expecting it. But it was a nice acknowledgement, not only for myself or my family, but it was just nice from, you know, the people of Ireland and from RT themselves, the acknowledgement of the sport. You know, something that BBC haven't done for a long, long time to our sport, you know, with some of the stars over the years, with the Sports Personality of the Year award here in England and stuff like that. So it was nice to be acknowledged, you know, from my own people, and of course, and from my own peers and fellow sort of you know, sporting countrymen and women as well. So that was a nice acknowledgement.
Well, you're going to be the special guest at the 42nd Donegal Sports Star Awards. They're on in Letterkenny on the 26th of January. You're going to be the special guest, and you're going to have your eyes open with the standard and the numbers of people that will be involved, and the standard of the athletes that will be getting awards.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really looking forward to it, and I think it's great that they do that, and acknowledgement is great for young and those who are going, you know, the start of their careers, you know, and those who are sort of at the end of their careers. It's nice to be acknowledged no matter what you do, and it sort of keeps you going that people are supporting you, and that's what the Donegal Awards has done and what they continue to do, and that's very, very important in any sport, you know. So I'm looking forward to going up there. I am a Doherty, of course, and Doherty's come from Donegal and Derry, even though I've no relations that I know of up there. I must tell you a funny story. The last time I was up there, I was playing a snooker exhibition, and the four or six people I played were all Dohertys, you know.
Doherty.
Yeah, but I didn't know any of them, you know. But
did you know their nickname?
That way.
You wouldn't know them unless you knew their nickname.
Unless you knew, they all had nicknames. Yeah, they all had nicknames.
I must
retrace my roots, because I'm sure I have some sort of relatives up there somewhere, but none that I know of at the moment. But that's something that I have to do in the future for sure. But I'm really looking forward to coming to Donegal. I've been there many times. I've played many exhibitions up there. It's a fantastic, beautiful part of the world and of the country. And I'm looking forward to going up there and be guest of honour. And it's nice to be even given the opportunity to be a guest of honour at such a prestigious award. So I can't wait.